Praise and thanks be to the Lord for all these precious songs that we sing to the glory of His name, and how these songwriters express many a thought that was probably given to them by the Spirit of God, and we may live on them, and we would like to visualize in these words, and let us not forget to honor, praise, and worship our Lord, to fear Him, to serve Him in this time, until we shall see Him in that glory. Praise and thanks be to our God that we can gather this evening once again to worship Him anew, to hear what He has to say to us again through His Word. We are convinced that we are not here to hear something from a human being, but from the living God. And we want to raise our voices to this living God, because we know that we are not worshipping a man here to please him, but to give glory to God. To Him alone it is due to bring Him honor and praise. Before we perhaps do this together, I would like to read a word from Job. Job was a great man of God, and want to hear a few words he said before we pray. And perhaps some of us will also think about how we should actually be before Him. From Job 9, perhaps already from 8, from verse 20. Behold, God will not cast away a perfect man, neither will He help the evildoers, till He will fill thy mouth with laughing and thy lips with rejoicing. They that hate thee shall be clothed with shame, and the dwelling place of the wicked shall come to naught. Then Job answered and said, I know it is so of a truth, but how should man be just with God? If he will contend with Him, he cannot answer him one of a thousand. He is wise in heart and mighty in strength. Who has hardened himself against him and has prospered? Which removeth the mountains, and they know not, which overturneth them in his anger, which shaketh the earth out of her place, and the pillars thereof tremble, which commandeth the sun, and it riseth not, and sealeth up the stars, which alone spreadeth out the heavens, and treadeth upon the waves of the sea, which maketh Arcturus, Orion, and Pleiades, and the chambers of the south, which doeth great things past finding out, yea, and wonders without number. Lo, he goeth by me, and I see him not. He passes on also, but I perceive him not. Behold, he taketh away. Who can hinder him? Who will say unto him, What doest thou? If God will not withdraw his anger, the proud helpers do stoop under him. How much less shall I answer him, and choose out my words to reason with him? Whom though I were righteous, yet would I not answer, but I would make supplication to my judge. If I had called, and he had answered me, yet would I not believe that he had hearkened unto my voice. For he breaketh me with a tempest, and multiplieth my wounds without cause. He will not suffer me to take my breath, but filleth me with bitterness. If I speak of strength, lo, he is strong. And if of judgment, who shall set me a time to plead? If I justify myself, mine own mouth shall condemn me. If I say, I am perfect, it shall also prove me perverse. These are precious words, and I think it is clear from these words that Job has realized that God is all in all, and that he can do what is pleasing to him, and that no human being can actually stand his ground before him. And here we have heard all the words that he expressed. He gave honor to the Creator, the living God, and knew that he is able to do all things. And we too know with all our heart, and we believe that he can do all things. He says, he goeth by me, and I see him not. That's the thing. We may think he doesn't hear us, but he does hear us. We may think he doesn't see us, but he still sees us. This is the living God. And if I wanted to be in the right, as he said here, not before him, not before God. No, who wants to argue or quarrel with him? We cannot, not even we, but we come in reverence before him and want to praise his name and bring him worship and glory. For he alone deserves the honor and praise, especially in our day. Job was in much misery and affliction, but we know one thing. He did not turn away from the living God. He trusted and relied on him until he received help. Brothers and sisters, we too may find ourselves in many a situation or predicament. We can trust in him and build on him. And Job may not have seen anything, but still he knew that his Redeemer liveth. And we also know that our Redeemer liveth. And we can look up to him and bring him honor and worship. As it says here, even if Job were in the right, he would stand guilty in a legal dispute with God. But which of us would be innocent? Nobody. Instead, we can say that he is right in everything. And so let us thank and worship him. Let us stand and pray. Faithful God, we are gathered here as your people, as your children, in thy wonderful and holy name of Jesus. Lord, what can we bring to you? Or what are we before you? When we look at ourselves, then we see nothing good, Lord. O faithful God, but we bow in humility before you, the living God, who made the heavens and the earth, and who holds everything in his hand, the whole universe and the events on earth. Even the kingdoms and their power are in your hand, O Lord, and you can direct everything as you wish. Faithful God, I thank you that we can see you, that we can believe you, that we can worship you even tonight. That's why we have come here again. Your people, your children have gathered here, Lord, to offer worship and praise to you, Lord. Receive it, Lord, from the mouths and hearts of us all. We want to do it from the depth of our hearts. We want to worship you, sing praises to you, our God. Hallelujah. Praise, honor, and glory be to you for your great grace, for your great love, which has carried us to this moment and to this hour, Lord. And not only us, Lord, but with us, all your people, Lord, you have carried like on eagle's wings. We worship you, we thank you, and we praise your presence. Lord, even if we do not feel your power, you are still present and are so wonderful. Hallelujah. We praise your grace. We worship you. We believe you, O Lord, and trust you with all our hearts, even tonight, that you bless us abundantly above asking and understanding. In Jesus' name, hallelujah. Amen. You may be seated. Praise and thanks be to the Lord for the privilege of being here to worship. This is the greatest gift we have on earth, that God has given us, that we may believe. And we know in whom we believe. We know what we believe. And we know what awaits us when this pilgrimage is over, that we will see what we have believed here. We know that God's word will not return void, but it will always accomplish what it was sent to do. We want to be among the people who believe from beginning to end. We had the topic, three kinds of believers. Believers, unbelievers, and the make-believers. And we have heard their characteristics, and that in a clearer way than ever before. And I believe that God speaks to our hearts, and that everyone has the opportunity to examine where they stand. And I spoke to a brother, and he said, yes, if that's the case, and we believe in predestination, then it's not my fault. Something like that. Maybe I didn't get it quite right, but I had to say it. We don't listen to the sermons in order to be written off or written down in our condition, so to speak. We listen to the sermons so that they can speak to us and so that God can work on us and bring us to where He wants us to be. So no one should get the idea and say, well, if that's how it is, then I've categorized myself, and that's the end of it. No, it's far from over. We live in the time of grace, and as long as we live in the time of grace, the matter is only settled for you as a child of God when God has been able to take you where He wants you to be, and not before. And you know, it is just so important to recognize your own thoughts, and sometimes even the thoughts of the enemy under the sound of the Word of God, and to put them aside and say, Lord, you have spoken to me. Here are the characteristics, and I can see them, yes. We don't want to push them aside. But you didn't speak to me to leave me in this state, but you spoke to us to reach out to us, to help us, to bring us out of one state and into another. And be honest, we are here under the sound of the Word of God, not to say, yes, now I'm here among this group, I've done this and I've done that, and so on. That's what the enemy would like most, for us to be put to shame. But no one is put to shame who trusts in the Lord. No one. There is the word no one. And you must believe it. When the Bible says that no one who puts their trust in God will be put to shame, it means no one. Yes, praise and thanks, Sister Ruschke, that's right. You are old enough to be able to say that. And we are grateful to God for that, with all our hearts. Imagine coming under the sound of the Word and recognizing who we are and what we are and how we are. And then we would have to remain in that state. That would be a plague, a torment, a misery. That would be horrible. No, that is not what God's Word says. God's grace has not appeared to us for this purpose. It has appeared to us to hold up a mirror before us and to hit us full on through the Word, but also to help us perfectly and to bring us into the position into which God wants to bring us. And so, despite the harshest sermon, there remains such a blissful hope and trust in God that we can overcome all hardships because we put our trust in God. If we would put it in ourselves, after all, it is not written, no one is put to shame who trusts in himself. That's not what it says. It says, no one will be put to shame who puts his trust in God. And then we ask ourselves tonight, in whom have you, I, and we put our trust? If we have put our trust in God, then it will remain for all eternity that no one can be put to shame. And so we go forward in faith with our Lord and live in the confidence that He can give the things that are not yet as they should be. And the thought was also expressed in that conversation. Yes, if someone, you all know, Brother Branham actually mentioned this name of Judas a few times in the sermon and presented him as the man who went along with it until he thought he had found something, and then he walked away. There's a big difference between someone just being dragged into this or whether he is that person. There is a big difference. We know very well, at the crucifixion, there were many who accused, who did this and that, but there was only one with that name. The others were dragged into the whole thing, so to speak. And so we have to discern and know that God is talking to us to help us. Don't you ever think that God is making an effort to take away my hope and yours. God is making an effort to give you and me a living hope and a living faith in His Word, in His presence, in His forgiveness, in His grace. And how often have you said it? You could almost laugh out loud. I don't want to use the word laugh. But even though all things may be so difficult in life, but a person who has been pardoned by God, who has been granted salvation, is a person who has reason to be happy and grateful. In all misery, in all hardship, we must not forget what God has done for us. Bless the Lord, O my soul, and all that is within me, bless his holy name. Bless the Lord, O my soul, who forgiveth all thine iniquities, who healeth all thy diseases. And it says, let everything that has breath praise the Lord. This man of God took every opportunity to sing a new psalm in honor of his God. And he tuned the harp and sang and played. I say again, he could have been the first to throw in the towel. When I came in, I heard the song from the harvest. I can't help myself. There are some songs with marvelous lyrics and a clumsy melody, and there are songs with wonderful lyrics and proper melodies. But because I'm not musical, I can't allow myself to pass judgment on them. But I think that David in particular, who really had to go through so many things, became the number one example for us in the whole Bible. And tell me one field that he didn't sing about. Tell me whether the whole of the Psalms doesn't cover everything that human life can bring with it, and whether there isn't a psalm everywhere that talks about or deals with what people have to go through or can go through in this life. And yet, I say it once again, by the grace of God, he took every opportunity to sing a new psalm to God. Is that not the grace of God? What should be with you and with me? They have sung of grace. We have experienced and received it. They sang of salvation. We have experienced and received it. Should we be inferior to them? Or should we join them in singing? We have read here about Job, who was certainly the most tested man in the entire Old Testament. And we remember that well from the sermon at the weekend, when it was said, as long as the devil can persuade us that it is God who is beating us and afflicting us, and so on, then the enemy, has an easy time of it. But when we realize that it is not God who strikes us, but that the enemy strikes us, and that God is here to help us, then the tide turns. Otherwise, we become inwardly upset with God, because we think it is he who is now somehow taking his anger out on us. No, the Bible actually says in Job, Satan went forth from the presence of the Lord and smote Job with sore boils. Satan went forth from the presence of the Lord and smote Job with sore boils. Anything that does not bring blessing is not from God. All good things and every perfect gift comes from God. It comes from God. All hardship, all misery, whatever is there, can only come from where it comes from. As I said, only perfection, goodness, blessing, salvation, grace, mercy, and forgiveness can come from God out of the fullness that he has. In this word that we have read here, I am struck by many things, but one verse in particular. if he will contend with him, he cannot answer him one of a thousand. Sometimes, when you hear people talk like that, how many answers they have? They have a few answers to one question. One is not enough. They always have a few, because you have to reckon with the fact that there are four directions under heaven. But, beloved, everything looks completely different in the presence of God. And we are each placed in the presence of God ourselves. We are not facing each other. We are facing God. And who wants to answer him? And if we were to answer him, our answer would miss the point anyway. I'm so glad that we don't need to answer at all, that God has given us his answer by grace. And you know, that has become so great to me. God spoke through the prophets. In Christ, the speaking of God has become reality. He was the answer to all of God's speaking. And so it is with us. We could not give one answer to a thousand questions. We are, of course, always ready, like Job's friends. They always gave the right answer. And what was it? Only in their own eyes. At the end, God tells Job that the three men did not speak as sincerely as he did. Go and intercede for them. What was it? They had so many answers. Some of them are in here. I don't know if all of them are in here. I would be surprised, but there are already enough in here. But none of them were right. Only when God revealed himself to Job and spoke out of the storm, and he saw his glory, that was the answer. Everything else could have been done without. And that's how it is with all of us. We are not here to answer each other. We are not here to teach each other. But we are here to receive God's answer together, God's instruction together, the teachings together, receiving everything together from God. It says, so he could not give him a single answer to a thousand questions. Sometimes I imagine the white throne judgment. And the Bible says in Revelation 20, verse 11, from whose face the earth and the heaven fled away, and there was found no place for them. Who is the man? Who are you? Who am I? What will it be like one day when from whose presence heaven and earth flees away, when he rises and everything must flee from him? And all people must appear before him. Who will still have much to say? All the great ones of the earth, they will have nothing to say. But thanks be to God that all God's children will not appear in judgment, because it says in the Gospel of John, chapter 5, verse 24, that we have passed from death into life and will not come into judgment. Thanks be to God. If we should appear before the judgment, there would be little hope. But one has come. Our judgment has come upon him. The judgment of God that was passed on mankind fell on Jesus Christ, our Lord. And it says, we did esteem him stricken, smitten of God, and afflicted. But he was wounded for our transgressions. He was bruised for our iniquities. The chastisement of our peace was upon him, and with his stripes we are healed. Thanks be to the Lord, our Savior, for this grace. And grace is something undeserved that he has given us. He took our place as the Son of God for all the sons and daughters of God. Once you grasp redemption in faith and the price that was paid for it, that's it for him. Beloved, we do not come here to accept a religion. We do not come here to somehow find a creed. We come here to experience God. We come here to see Jesus Christ, the Son of God, as the crucified one, as the one who purchased us, who pardoned us, who loved us out. I wish that God would once again give me the opportunity to proclaim this marvelous gospel of Jesus Christ. As you know, I have visited many countries, and if you look at the other religions, they all have philosophies, but none of them has the gospel. None of them have good news. None of them have salvation. None of them have forgiveness. None of them have eternal life. They are all dead philosophies. What a grace we have been given to have a glorious gospel of Jesus Christ, the Son of God, who came to redeem us. And if we have grasped this in faith, then we have been seized by him. And then we cannot help but thank him from the bottom of our hearts, in his presence. And when he calls to account, we will not have an answer to 1,000 questions. And we should already behave here as it will be there. We should accept God's answer and thank him that he has answered us in Jesus Christ, our Lord, that he has redeemed and pardoned us and given us eternal life. Now, before we pray, from Jeremiah, from the Lamentations, after all, we have some things to lament about. But here, in Lamentations 3, we read in verse 19, remembering mine affliction and my misery, the wormwood and the gall, my soul has them still in remembrance and is humbled in me. This I recall to my mind. Therefore have I hope. It is of the Lord's mercies that we are not consumed, because His compassions fail not. They are new every morning. Great is thy faithfulness. The Lord is my portion, saith my soul. Therefore will I hope in Him. Isn't that a wonderful word? The same man who speaks of misery, of wormwood, of gall, the same man says, my soul has them still in remembrance and is humbled in me. This I will take to heart. What do we take to heart? Our own thoughts, who can plunge us into hopelessness? Or do we take God's word to heart, which lifts us up, strengthens us, and establishes us? Here the man says, my soul has them still in remembrance and is humbled in me. Yes, our soul is humbled. When we think of this, that, and many things, then it says, I will take these things to heart, and therefore have I hope. The mercies of the Lord are not yet exhausted. This belongs together. One is connected to the other. One entails the other. Therefore have I hope. The mercies of the Lord are not yet exhausted. His compassions fail not. If we were to think in our misery that God's mercies have come to an end, and that His compassion is exhausted, and that there is no more mercy, we would sink into hopelessness. But the fact that the Lord speaks to us through His word, it says, therefore have I hope. The Lord's mercies are not yet exhausted. His compassions fail not. They are new every morning. Great is thy faithfulness. Isn't that wonderful? Here we think of the words of the Apostle Paul, in which he actually writes, even if we were unfaithful, He remains faithful, for He cannot deny Himself. If He were to deny you and me, He would deny a part, He would deny members of His body, sons and daughters whom He Himself has begotten. And that is not possible. It's impossible. No. His faithfulness remains eternal. They are new every morning. And here He says, great is thy faithfulness. Isn't that a glorious word? And then it says, the Lord is my portion, saith my soul. Blank spot. My soul has them still in remembrance, and is humbled in me. This I recall to my mind, and therefore live in hope. Not to die in hope. It is a living hope. because he who is the hope rose from the dead on the third day. If he had not risen from the dead, we would be dead along with our hope and could be buried. But because he rose from the dead, he became our hope. And that's why Paul writes, Christ in us, the hope of glory. Oh, what a grace has been bestowed on us. They are new every morning. Great is thy faithfulness. Oh, from what depths these men of God have drawn. How might they have felt when they uttered these words? Their hearts were overflowing. They had fellowship with God. Today, our hearts should be overflowing with praise and thanksgiving, so that we can confidently say to our Lord, Great is thy faithfulness, O God. Thy mercies are not yet exhausted. Every morning you reveal yourself to your own anew. Lord, we are here to thank you. We want to get to the point in our prayers and offer our God the thanks we owe him. Plain and simple, but truly from the bottom of our hearts. For we live in the blessed hope that our Lord and Savior will soon return to take us home. To him be praise and honor, glory and worship from the bottom of our hearts. Amen. Let us stand up and pray. Heavenly Father, we thank you with all our hearts once again, Lord. To you be the glory and honor, praise and worship, O God, from all our hearts and from all our mouths, O Lord. For this is why we have come here, to worship you, Lord, to praise your holy name. For you are our God, hallelujah. You have shed your blood for us. You have redeemed us. You have set us free. Lord, we are your people, the flock of your hand. Praise be to your wonderful name. Lord, we are not something, but we are the redeemed, Lord. By grace we are saved, not by merit, Lord. No, Lord, but you have seen something in us. You have called us by our name. We have become your own, Lord. And so we believe you and continue to trust you through everything, whatever the path may be, Lord. We look up to you and ask you to continue to be with us and with all your people everywhere in all places, Lord. May you especially bless the gatherings ahead of us, O God, and your people, Lord. We worship you in Jesus' name. Amen.